The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher@nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. If you would like to be a guest, just email me at ron@marketingworkspr.com. This is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I am speaking with Shari Lurie and Jennifer Colbert from Epic Long Island and South Shore Guidance. And Shari, why don't you plug the phone number again, okay?
So for Epic Long Island, it's 516-739-7733. And for the intake, it is, you press 1 and then...
725.
And then for South Shore, it's 516-868-3030.
And for the New York, the Nassau County Talk Line, which can help with any problems in the, you know, behavioral health problems and other kinds of issues, such as social service issues, you call the Nassau County Talk Line, 227-TALK, or 227-8255.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that, you know, with virtual, you're not there. It's like doing a virtual event where you don't network with people. It's great that it's available to us, but we're missing out on a lot of opportunities. Now, does each one of the mental health patients that you have their own social worker that knows their history?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So can they feel, you know, I'm thinking of children that are living in these houses that might be suffering domestic violence, sexual abuse, or substance abuse. And they're really afraid to talk in front of their parents. You don't get that one-on-one that you would get, or you can't read them on a virtual like you can if you were in person.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really true. I mean, I think that there's nothing like being in person in terms of having the confidentiality and the privacy that therapy works best in. But better to have this than nothing. But, you know, Ron, you're absolutely right, because a lot of our kids that we see, they have not had privacy during the pandemic. There are some kids who are doing their sessions from the bathroom. And not only don't they have privacy, in some of the homes, there is not enough technology to go around. You know, many of these are families who can't afford multiple laptops,
or even phones.
So, you know, people miss out on their session, not because they want to, but because there isn't enough privacy and technology available.
So are you starting to get people coming back to the clinics?
Well, you know, Ron, we've always been seeing some people face-to-face. We've never been totally virtual. But therapists know that if the patient, if they feel the patient needs to be seen, they are able to bring them into the clinic.
Or will,
we are.
Will they go to them?
I'm sorry?
Will they go to their houses if they're not happy with the response they're getting?
Well, there are, in some of our, we have one program through South Shore, which is called CFTSS, Children, Family Treatment and Supports, and we actually have a service where a therapist can go to the home to provide therapy services there, you know, in the patient's home or outside in the backyard, wherever the, you know, it's most suitable. We also have our home-based crisis intervention program and aftercare program where the workers will go to the homes and help stabilize situations and make sure that, you know, the child is and the family are functioning as well as they can. And the goal is to keep people from having to go to the hospital. And I think that, you know, the beauty of telehealth, and I think that the numbers will show as we go forward, that because people have been able to have their therapy, even if it's been through telehealth, that it's kept people from having to go and use the emergency room for psychiatric needs, because they've been able to engage in therapy and you know, learn how to deal with their situations and manage their stress and manage their anxiety and their depression. So I think that telehealth will really prove to have been invaluable for us.
Well, you know, we talk about the staff that you have, and they really are heroes for what they've done in the last year through this whole COVID period. How have they been handling things?
So I think we are so fortunate, Ron, in both of our clinics to have the staff that we do. The clinicians are so committed to their patients, and they are really there for them. Not just during their session time, but whenever the patient needs to reach out to them. If they're, you know, having an anxiety attack, a really bad day, whatever the feelings might be, the clinicians are available to them. You know, we do try and take care of the clinicians who work here, though, because we do understand that this is a hard job and that it takes a lot out of people to provide help like this. So we do try and offer support to all of our clinicians, whether it be regular clinical supervision or just the fact that our doors are open to the staff all the time. They can call us if there are concerns about their patients or if they themselves are feeling burnt out, which a lot of the clinicians are, you know, at this time.
Because, you know, we're all humans, right? The clinicians as well as our patients, and we're all going through this pandemic together.
But you're also talking about being short on staff. So, I mean, that puts more of a more work on the people that are working.
Well, yes, it does. And, you know, I do have to say that for as long as the mental health clinic at Epic has been open, we have always run it where we have never had a waiting list. We assign the referrals right away because we know that by the time people are calling, they really need to be seen. So for the first time, though, we have had to start a waiting list, and that was really hard for us to do. But at one point, we just didn't have enough clinicians to, you know, to accommodate all the new referrals, which is now changing because we're onboarding people. But it was upsetting to have to do that.
But I think that is what other clinics are experiencing. Our mobile crisis team is working very hard to identify referral places, you know, for the patients who they go out on crises on, and it's very hard to find clinics that have any openings. There's been such a need.
Now, Epic is huge. You went into a whole new facility years ago, and it is a big place, and you have the room for people to keep coming in. South Shore was a little bit smaller, but you have some plans in the works that maybe you'll be expanding quickly.
Well, actually, yeah, we're very excited. Epic, we did move into a new building about 8 years ago, and you'd think that we have a lot of room, but we are overflowing.
Wow.
Our office space is just, you know, and now that we've had a lot of virtual, we just have an incredible amount of, we've expanded tremendously. At South Shore, though, we are very excited. We were in receipt of a state transformation grant a couple years ago, and we're very close to finalizing the purchase of a beautiful new building, and it will be probably doubling our space.
Good,
so
yeah.
So we'll be able to hire more staff and serve more people in the community. So we're very excited about that.
Well, I wanted to talk about substance abuse. How does that tie in with what you're doing there? I mean, we keep hearing how it's really doubling and tripling. More and more people have problems now. And Schumer just asked for federal aid to fight drug abuse surge. What's going on with you over there? Are you making, you have clinics for them, right?
Yes, we do at South Shore. We have the Care Center, which is an outpatient substance abuse program. We serve adults and adolescents who are struggling with substance abuse, and we serve the children who come, whose families, guardians have substance abuse issues. So during the pandemic, you know, people who are in recovery, like everyone, were experiencing a lot more stress. People were losing their jobs. There were increased family problems, trying to educate their kids at home, trying to put food on the table. So when you have that kind of stress going on, it does leave people more vulnerable to relapsing. And for those who also attend self-help meetings, initially, you know, self-help meetings weren't meeting in person anymore because of COVID. So what we did was, you know, we had the virtual sessions, but and also for groups. And, you know, we did the best we could. Because some of the patients, again, they don't have laptops or phones, and you really don't want to lose people to contact, you know, so especially during these times. So we have been really fortunate because also through a grant, we were able to hire a peer advisor, and he helps us reach out to the patients who are missing in action, or if they're not, they are really struggling with maintaining their sobriety. He brings them to self-help meetings. He calls them. He's really been a lifeline and a great addition to our staff.
So what does he, this peer advocate, do? How does he identify problems with certain people that you might not see?
Well, because he's in the care center, you know, we know that, you know, everyone in there, certainly the adults, have a substance abuse issue. So what we like to do is when new referrals come in, they talk to him and he can tell them about the program and what we offer and, you know, get them settled in. He is there for them, you know, because he knows the meetings that are around. He really can hook the person up with the best meeting for them. He'll take them to the meetings. And also, upon discharge, when a patient is being successfully discharged, he will sit with them and prepare them for their sobriety without being in a program every week.
How can you identify if there's a situation going on in a home with one of your mental health patients?
Well, I think that depends on, it really depends on the situation. Very often, the person will talk about it with their clinician. So the relationship with the clinician is so important. They develop trust, and they become such a tremendous support to the patient. And if they're having a situation in the home, whether it's a child or it's an adult, and we hope, and very frequently this is the case, they feel comfortable with their therapist, and they will talk about it and disclose issues to them. And then the therapist is able to get them the assistance that they need.
You have job opportunities. I could hear you talking about how you really need people. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, if they are looking to become a therapist in one of our clinics, They can call Shari at 516-739-7733. Press 1, it's extension 425. If they are looking to become a mobile crisis team member, they can call me at 516-739-7733, and it's 1, extension 400.
And if they're looking to work at South Shore in either the adult program, the children's program, the care center, or HBCI, they can call 868-3030 and just tell the person who's answering the phone what they're interested in.
Well, let me ask you about the, I want to go back to substance abuse and the products that people are taking, and some of them are laced with the worst possible problem areas now. Do you have people that can check that? How do we know if they, you know, what they're taking and if it's...
Well, if they're in our care center, the patients are asked to give urine, so we can tell by the lab work. Hopefully they just trust us and tell us, but sometimes that's hard to do, so we do lab work.
How has it been at Epic now through this whole period? Have people started going back to work and your staff? Or is it, I know you did most of it virtually, but you couldn't do all of it because you've had people that are living in group homes.
Right. So, you know, Ron, because we have people living in 18 group homes, we've never closed. We've always been open. Our staff have been amazing. Our direct care staff who work in the group homes taking care of the people with developmental disabilities have been unbelievable. I mean, they're really such heroes. They've worked through the pandemic. They have never stopped working. They've really been dedicated to caring for these individuals, just like you would care for your family members. And in the rest of the agency, because we're healthcare, we've never closed. We have had flexible work hours. We've had less people in the office. We've been really trying to be accommodating and keep everybody safe, but we've been rotating in. Now, the majority of the full-time people have been back in the office really since the summer. We do, try to flex the hours a bit so that we can accommodate people's schedules. You know, don't forget, every parent of school-age children has been under incredible stress, because they've had to work their full-time jobs, but also many times educate their kids. Their kids have been doing virtual schooling, at different points. So it's been tough. You know, it's been a very challenging year for everybody. But I have to say that my colleagues and all of our staff here have just really risen to the occasion, and it's been a real testament to the staff.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, because before the pandemic, I was always amazed at every nonprofit that I work with. People have been there for 24 years, 17 years, haha. But, everybody has been there a long time. And it was just, you're not making a lot of money there, but it's the feeling of, what is the feeling, Shari? What makes people just stay there?
So I think it's twofold, Ron. I think, first of all, our staff stays because they love what they do. They care about their patients. It's such gratifying work. And when you feel like you're helping somebody and their lives are getting better, there's nothing like it. So, all of our staff in both of the agencies are incredible people. And on top of that, I think that we provide a very nice atmosphere in our clinics. Jen and I are both very supportive. And as I mentioned before...
Such great positive people you are.
Thank you.
We have open door policies. We can be reached by our clinicians at any time that they need us. We really try to offer the staff whatever we are able to so that they feel proud to be part of us and not want to leave. So.
Well, I wouldn't want to leave either. I mean, it's such a great atmosphere whenever I go in there. It's a beautiful place. But I do want to thank both of you, Shari Lurie and Jennifer Colbert, two of my favorite people at Epic. And you're listening to The Nonprofit Voice. And my guests are from Epic Long Island and South Shore Guidance. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.